Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it's news shoe time. Welcome back, everybody. Joining me, as always, is the, at least this week, working 9-to-5, the Winter Soldier, Benjamin Orr.
How's it going?
Ben, what do you do when it's not winter?
You know, well, I kind of just, you know...
Hang out.
Kick back a little
bit. Hang out. Smoke weed, play video games.
You know, the usual. Just kick back, relax, and... Sometimes I'm called to Siberia here and now.
But nobody cares about Siberia, so you don't have to work
very hard. Yeah, I mean, I usually cancel those jobs because it's not really worth it all that much. I mean,
they're so used to it now. It's kind of like, what's the point? You'd show up and stop winter and they'd be like, what are you doing?
You know, and I think some of that paid off. My winter soldierness paid off the other day because it was actually when you were texting me about our up and coming for next week, our Oscar special. A tire of mine blew out on the highway.
Oh.
And so I was sitting in my car for a while waiting on AAA to come. And I was actually, you were actually texting me that time, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll just, you know, text you back, and we're talking about stuff. And it was like 5 degrees outside, felt like -2. And AAA said, oh, well, it's going to be about a 3-hour wait. And I said, really?
Wow.
So I'm sitting there for a good hour, you know, and I wasn't really paying attention. I was texting somebody at the time, and I see this cop car in front of me, and he pulls back. And he, you know, he walks out, he goes, oh, what's going on? I said, well, you know, my tire blew and was waiting for AAA. The guy was really nice. He helped me change my tire and everything. And, you know, he was really nice about it. And, so I didn't have to wait for AAA.
Yeah, man, cops aren't bad. Like, they get a really bad rap because you only hear about them when they do bad stuff. Most cops are good dudes. That's not true. I've had one bad experience with a police officer, but I don't know that it was necessarily because he was a dick or he just was new and really needed to do his job. Regardless, I think most cops for the majority of the country, I can say, I think they're pretty decent dudes. They're willing to lend a hand because it's serve and protect, man. So he did a service for you that day. That's part of his job. It's what you pay him for.
Yeah, it was nice. It was also really fucking cold.
Yeah, but, I bet.
But yeah, that happened. So I mean, I think some of my good deeds across the country paid off.
So some of your good fictional deeds have paid off.
Yes, obviously.
Obviously, you've done your job, and the universe rewarded you with a friendly police officer. It would have been way funnier for your story, Ben, if you would have been like, "He helped me change my tire, then he popped the trunk and found all my weed and arrested me." Worst day ever.
Yeah, I'm doing this podcast from jail right now.
From Ohio State Penitentiary. That's probably a thing with all the football players, you'd think, right?
Well, no, this is in Baltimore.
Oh, this is in Baltimore?
Yeah, so.
What were you doing in Baltimore?
No, I said this is in Baltimore where all that happens. You know,
oh.
The Ravens, the Wire.
Sure, you know, okay. All right, fair enough. I was like, what? Wait, you were in Baltimore?
Oh, fuck no. I've never been to Baltimore.
I was going to say, then that Baltimore police officer has failed you because there was surely someone being murdered right during that time. sorry, Maryland. It is what it is. So, anyways. Ben, I got a new computer. We teased it last week. I'm very excited. I probably sound the same, but let me tell you that getting on and doing the podcast is just a breeze now, Ben. It's not a 30-minute prep to get the computer to work before we can record. So praise Allah, I guess.
Praise Bill Gates.
Praise Bill Gates. In this case, that would be a Bill Gates praise. Correct. I purchased I don't want to plug them because they don't give us money, but it was a company that makes a fine computer. Moving on. So I didn't go to work on Monday this week because of the, whatever you want to call it, snowpocalypse, snowmageddon, snow fuck yourself, whatever you're calling it. Because Ben, what happened was you've been to my house.
Yes.
I live sort of on a rounded corner. For those of you who don't know what that means, the road that runs north and south along my house, there's a bend right on my corner, like on my street, there's a bend of north to south where it sort of bends to the southwest fairly hard. And what that does is when the snowplow comes around my corner, all of the snow from the street that runs north and south gets crammed into the first opening that it can find. Now, the plows had not gone by when I did my final plow at about 10 o'clock on Sunday night. And when I got up in the morning, I had an 18-foot high, or 18-foot, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Wow. That's not what I meant. I had an 18-inch, like, wall, like, just a wall in my driveway. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot. I know, 18 inches. But it had been packed in there overnight and had pushed up my driveway onto my sidewalk and underneath my car, which was parked in the driveway. It took me until 2:30 in the afternoon to free myself in order to get out of the driveway, because my snowblower cannot handle 18 inches of snow. It can only handle maybe 4 or 5 before the engine just a good solid foot and a half, like up to my knee. It sucked. So I had to shovel all of that. And then, of course, but right at like the very base, there was like a 3-foot high mountain of snow, because they just kept cramming it in there. So literally it was just like creating an avalanche effect into my driveway. So it sucked. Monday was a terrible day. I didn't have to go to work, which, you know, you can say is a good thing, but I would have much rather gone to work than just shoveled and shoveled and shoveled and shoveled. It blows.
Yeah, that was like last Sunday. I went out and there's probably a good 5 inches out there, which it doesn't sound anything in comparison to yours, but my driveway is a lot longer than yours is.
That's probably true, because my driveway is small.
We have a part to it. It's not like it's a huge like mansion or anything. It's not that at all. It's just, you know, how the driveways are made. And yeah, the one driveway, they have like kind of the blacktop part, and it goes into this extension to the garage, which is where I park my car. And I shoveled that. I shoveled the driveway, shoveled the sidewalk. I shoveled right in front of the house where the mailman goes. And I did that. That was about maybe 4 or 5 inches. It took me about an hour or so. Then I went out 2 hours later, about another 4 or 5 inches out there. And I was just fucking wiped Sunday. I was dead. And then driving to YSU Monday morning was awful. The roads weren't plowed. People decided to go 15 miles per hour on the highway, which if that's the case, just don't even go out at that point. That really sucked. So moral of the story is, like we talked about last week, yes, it's cheap to live in the Midwest, but the grand question is, at what cost?
Indeed, Ben. The reason I brought this up is because as the Winter Soldier, you have failed me. And thusly, you owe me back pay.
But Lou, I do have something that will surprise you.
What's that?
I watched a movie film.
Oh my God. Okay, hold on. I gotta compose myself. Tell me about it, Ben.
Well, last night I watched Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, I have seen Lars and the Real Girl. Go on, Ben. Tell me what you thought.
I really liked it. Because I think the whole premise of it, you know, sees this sex doll as a real person. I like the fact that he wasn't really ever mocked for it. They kind of just accepted it as it was. I mean, mainly to, you know, help him with his mental state. But how supportive they were. And typically, I don't think that would be the actual reaction to it. I think it'd be more of, well, he's just nuts. We need to, you know, put him in a hospital like his brother was trying to do the entire time, at least for the first part of it. But I didn't expect the outright support to happen. That was very interesting to me. And I really liked it. I thought it was a really good story. I mean, there were parts of it that made me laugh, too. Because it's kind of like a comedy drama sort of thing.
Sure. It's a very black comedy. It's about a young man who has a sort of nervous, not even a nervous break, just kind of a mental breakdown, and believes that this sex doll is not just a sex doll. She's a real person, and he treats her as such. And the townspeople love him so much and think so highly of him that they also treat her like a real person. It's a beautiful movie. It's not at all what people, I think there was a stigma about it because they were like, oh, it's about a guy who's in love with a blow-up doll. But it really isn't about that. It's about, you know, it's about how how good people truly can be when it comes to rallying around each other. I loved that movie. I enjoyed it very much.
And it's about, you know, gradually his acceptance into reality. But it's so much more than, oh yeah, well, he's just crazy. Well, no, sure. Because he's not crazy. He's, you know, we all have things that when we're at our lowest of lows, you know, we try to see as normal, and he tries to see it as normal. It doesn't make him crazy. Doesn't make him insane. And I think that sends more of a message than, you know, saying, oh, well, he has mental problems and he can't, you know, decipher reality from fiction. That's not true. Because he obviously lives in the real world. He goes to work. He still eats dinner with his brother and his sister-in-law. He still functions as a normal human.
I think it's an interesting parallel to a show that we love called The Walking Dead, which is that sometimes people just deal with things differently. And a lot of times if you let them work through it, as even as weird as it may seem, whether it's talking to someone on the phone who isn't there or being in love with a sexy blow-up doll, I think the important thing is that sometimes, or in most times, people will come out of it. It seems like they will come back. You just need to let their brain do what it needs to do in order to heal properly, and then they'll come back. It's not always going to work that way, but I think that movie does a nice job of showing that sometimes people just need to work shit out for themselves, and then they'll be okay.
I mean, people cope with things in different ways, and for Lars, it was to see this blow-up doll as a human being. And, you know, it was hard for everybody to accept. I mean, certainly if that happened to somebody I knew, it would be like, well, you know, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with them. You know, I don't know if they're feeling okay. I don't know what's wrong mentally. But, you know, at a time, it's not about you then. It's not about what you think. It's about supporting that person. Which is what that movie does. It's not about what Gus, who's his brother in the movie, thinks. It's not about what Karen, his sister-in-law, thinks. It's about how they can help Lars, how they can support Lars and show him that they love him. And I think it does a tremendous job in doing that. So I really liked Lars in the Real
See,
World.
See, doesn't that make you want to watch more movie films, Ben?
Maybe.
There are lots of good ones.
It was a really enjoyable film. I did like it.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
But I also watched another one during the week, but I had already seen it years before. It was The Princess Bride.
Oh, I like that movie a lot.
Oh, I that's a great movie.
Yeah, that's a fun movie. There are some really good insults in that movie. People are good at insulting each other in that movie.
Yes, they are.
Cary Elwes is one of my favorite sort of, I don't know what to call him. Like, I love him so much in Robin Hood Men in Tights. And in Princess Bride, and I love Cary Elwes. I think that guy's awesome.
Yeah, he's a pretty good actor. Plays in a lot of those comedy like spoof things, like you said, Robin Hood Men in Tights, which is another one that's another like a kind of like a satire sort of.
Sure, you know what Cary Elwes should do a movie about, Ben?
That Lou.
Story Number One. Although it technically involves a woman, but that's not the point. Cary Elwes would play a wonderful kangaroo. The headline reads, Wisconsin woman kicked out of McDonald's over kangaroo, quote, service animal, end quote. A woman brought her therapy kangaroo to McDonald's with her. I mean, that's it. A customer who was there called the police saying that it was not appropriate or safe for the kangaroo to be in the restaurant. So she showed police the note from her doctor and they said that they understood that, but they still, you know, asked her to leave, because people felt unsafe, which I appreciate and understand. Even though I don't know that it's right, I understand why people would be like, I don't want a live fucking kangaroo inside of a restaurant. I just am not comfortable with that, especially in Wisconsin, where people think a kangaroo is like a mythical creature that isn't real. But it is a therapy pet, so legally she should have been allowed to have it. But she wasn't ticketed. Everybody lived their life. What's cool is that, like, they dress up the kangaroo. Like, he wears hooded sweatshirts like a person.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you have therapy dogs. You have the dogs that help, you know, blind people as well. Kangaroos, not so much, especially in America, let alone Wisconsin. So it's interesting to see that, you know, that she brought that in. And this isn't the only one she has. She has four other kangaroos she and her husband keep them outside of their home.
I didn't know that you could have kangaroos as pets in America.
Yeah,
I didn't think that was allowed.
We're going to have koalas next?
Oh, that'd be cool. People like that. Koalas would flourish in America. Everyone would have a fucking koala.
This is true. But her husband said that the kangaroo isn't exactly a service animal, but a therapy pet, because she has cancer. I guess if that's the case, I mean, I completely get the side that you came up with, Lou, that, yeah, if I am in a restaurant, I don't want to see a kangaroo there. I mean, that'd be weird.
I get it. Yeah.
But if there's a reason for it, I mean, I'm not going to just think that Lily just brought a kangaroo and just for the hell of
no,
it.
But
there's
like,
obviously a reason. And if it's for this, I mean, I personally wouldn't have a problem with it.
Look, I understand the need for therapy pets. I really do. Like, I know it's easy to joke about, oh, yeah, you know, but I understand the need for them and, you know, what their purpose is. What I don't understand is why the kangaroo. Like, dogs are perfectly serviceable. They seem to be doing a wonderful job. Like, why do you have four? That's where I start to get a little confused about what.
Well, no, she has five. This one being one of the five.
Oh, this being one of the five. And then why can't you just do drive through? Why do you have to go in? That's the part that of this story that I've also been puzzled about. Like, you can get McDonald's. No one's trying to keep you from McDonald's. Just don't bring your kangaroo inside. Give the person at the drive through window something awesome to tell their friends that their friends will then not believe. Just be like, yo, dude. This lady pulled through the drive-thru with a kangaroo, and people be like, dude, you're lying. We're in Wisconsin. There are no kangaroos in Wisconsin? Which I thought was true.
Yeah, apparently there's a population of all of five.
Yeah, and I also am confused about how, like, first of all, how do you procure the kangaroos? And then secondly, how do you get them certified to be service animals? Like, is there a textbook on kangaroo training?
And what do you do when they grow up? It's not like a dog, you know, or a cat when they get bigger.
Dude,
they're still able to put it in their house. What do you do with a kangaroo when it grows to full size?
I've seen a full-size kangaroo at the zoo. Those things are huge. They're big animals.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do with one, let alone five?
If your husband is only like 5'5", that kangaroo could punch him square in the face standing up straight. Like, kangaroos get big. They get to be like human-sized. So I'm just kind of – this story is interesting. Two different listeners sent this to us, so thank you to the people who sent it to us because this is pretty radical. But I'm just puzzled. Like, I honestly and genuinely did not think that you could have such a unique animal in the United States at all. I didn't even think that was possible.
Yeah, because there are bans on a lot of these exotic type animals.
Right. And especially for one person to have five.
Yeah, so that's interesting to me. They said that the kangaroo that they took to McDonald's is the youngest. He's called Jimmy.
Of course he is.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the most Australian thing. I mean, Jimmy had, like, some shrimp on the barbie.
That's so creative, too. Wow, you really went outside your comfort zone on that, because there's only, like, 10 million people in our country named Jimmy. Good one. I think it's funny that in the picture, on the story that I have, that he has a red hood. Just like that terrible movie Kangaroo Jack that you may not remember.
I've never seen it, but I remember that's a thing.
And that stupid kangaroo always wore a red hooded sweatshirt, at least in the pictures. I never saw the movie. I just saw the advertisements and stuff. But kangaroos are cute. I've always thought that they were cute little creatures. But, like, again, I mean, I can't even imagine what it would cost to get those kangaroos here and then to have five of – and, like, where do you go to get your kangaroo food? Is it the same place where you get the fake reindeer food? Same company? Yeah, same distribution company that does fake reindeer food does real kangaroo food?
That's a callback.
Oh, yeah, that was a deep pull.
But, yeah, that's a good point. Where do you get that where do you get, like, you know, supplies to take care of them? Like, where exactly do you get, like, you know – do you get, like, human combs and human brushes for them? Or do you get, like, dog stuff for them?
How do they survive in Wisconsin? Dude, they yeah. live in the deserts. Like, they're used to arid climates with little to no rain. Like, how on earth did they come to land here? If you had kangaroos – if this story was in Arizona, I guess I would probably find it less bizarre.
I mean,
because that's a climate they're used to.
Wisconsin's what, like one of the five coldest states in America, next to like Minnesota and New England
and Alaska. Yeah, I mean it's definitely one of the colder places to live in our country. So like having animals that reside in what's essentially a continent of desert is just kind of mean. That's a dick move.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's like
I don't know if that hoodie is supposed to help, you know, protect him from
it's
the
like
cold,
having polar bears at the Florida Zoo. That's a dick move.
Or having penguins in Texas.
Yeah, man, dick move. Don't be dicks about it.
So I'm assuming that, you know, they have some type of shelter set up for them, which is obviously to their body temperature and climate, so where they're not freezing. But still, I mean, five of those fuckers? Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's an insane amount of kangaroos, if I dare say so. But again, I mean, here's just... Okay, so I did say earlier that I can see how people would be uncomfortable. Do you know what I would do, Ben?
What's that, Lou?
I would approach the lady very, very politely, and I would say, ma'am, may I give your kangaroo a fry? To which she would say no, because I don't think they can have fries. But I don't know what they eat. I have no idea. At that point, I would then approach her again with more fries and say, tell you what, I'm going to turn these fries into potatoes and do something stupid, like the person in our next story.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you didn't. You thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you? It was all part of the plan. One of my favorite stories this week, the headline reads, man decides to set off a fire alarm after clogging his toilet with potatoes. So now this article takes away some of my fun, Ben, because it points out two of my favorite things about this story, which is one, potatoes cannot be flushed down toilets, and two, setting off a fire alarm rarely solves non-fire related problems. So this article starts with two of my biggest points when I saw this headline, which is that potatoes don't fit in toilets, and getting the fire department there to solve a plumbing problem makes you a dummy person.
Yes, so a man from Delaware County, Pennsylvania, thought that they weren't responding to his crisis that he had when he called 911. So he decided the next logical step was to set the fire alarm after clogging his toilet with the potatoes. The entire building was evacuated, and firefighters showed up thinking that there was a genuine emergency. Police spokesperson said that they'll be pressing charges against the man, which, I mean, obviously that was going to happen.
We should also charge him in the dumbass court, because why were you flushing potatoes down the toilet in the first place? What possible – think about this, Ben, and I want you to take a second to really think. I'm going to, too. What possible logical reason could one's brain use to justify taking a giant Idaho potato and trying to flush it down the toilet?
Maybe he was trying to get revenge on somebody, so he went to their apartment, whatever, and did that so their toilet would be clogged with a potato.
But then what kind of revenge would it be if you then try to get somebody to help you stop the toilet plugging?
Because he had a change of heart and felt bad about it.
Well, now he's even more stupid.
I never said he was smart.
Well, your logic, I guess that's a reason. It's not very good, though, Ben. I could poke a lot of holes in this. I mean, it's better than anything I have, which is nothing. Like, I can't think of one logical reason that the human brain would say, dude, just take the potato and flush it. It's evidence. Like, did the potato, say to him, this is what I want. Please do this for me. Like, there's got to be something, right?
The potato was talking to him.
And, like, doesn't... Like, okay, I have to assume this is a grown person. So, like, don't you know the difference between a fire and a plumbing problem? Like, if the doorbell in front of my house doesn't work, I don't call the plumber. Like, I assume that you're old enough. And if you're living in, like, an apartment complex, don't you have, like, a landlord? Like, wouldn't you just call your landlord and be like, oh, my toilet's plugged? And then when the landlord comes and pulls a giant fucking potato out of the blowhole of your toilet, you'd be like, oh, how did that get in there? Or you could make some joke, a Ben Orr joke, like, oh, I should really chew my food.
Was I supposed to get that?
No, it wasn't a very good joke, but that's kind of how I feel like your jokes are sometimes, so I apologize.
Oh, not bad, huh?
Sometimes. No, but, now hold on. Not all the time, but sometimes. But sometimes.
Sometimes. Agreeable. But, I mean, what's the next logical step in this? Stick eggs down the garbage disposal?
I mean, I'm sure you can do that. Garbage disposals are quite resilient. But I see your point. Your point is, I mean, if he was trying to, like, make like a meal in the toilet, so like you get the potato in there and then you butter it while it's in one end and then you pull it out and stick it back in and butter the other end. No, that's not gonna work. Let's see, what else could he have been doing? Maybe he was trying to make, you know, maybe he flushed a potato bug down the toilet and he realized that he didn't send it any food and he wanted it to survive. He didn't want there to be any hard feelings.
Maybe he was trying to get potato power and, like, he was using his toilet as a time machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, the DeLorean, how it uses, like, garbage and whatnot? Maybe his toilet, in his mind, was powered by potatoes.
Sure. Oh, I mean, yeah, maybe he just watched it for the first time. So he was like, holy cow, I better get some garbage in there. Can you imagine if your toilet was a time machine? That'd be kind of the worst, I feel like. Because every time you go to the bathroom in the morning, like if you had to poop in the middle of the night, you'd reach over and you'd hit the wrong button and you'd fucking wake up in Jurassic era with your fucking just buck-ass naked.
Yeah, so obviously this man is not a smart man. I don't know why he just went like mashed potatoes down. Like, you know,
I mean,
beat them down a little bit. But
if you're trying to get rid of a potato, why don't you just put it in the garbage like a normal person?
Well, Lou, he's not a normal person, so obviously his garbage is his toilet. So mashing them would make a hell of a lot more sense. Cutting them up into individual pieces would make a little bit more of a sense. Doing a whole giant thing, you can't fit a giant circle into a small hole. Not going to work.
I mean, it's just, this story is just too fun. I mean, why are you doing that? Like, really, why are you doing this? Did your mom not hug you enough? What happened? What has led your life to this moment? I have to know. Is your hatred for potatoes so great that you want them to go? Or, like, did you have empathy that you were, like, you were sitting there and maybe you were high and you were like, man, potatoes have never been on a water slide. What a shame.
I mean, I don't know if it was appealing to him or what, but it's just, like, why waste the potatoes, though?
That's a good question too. And I mean, I feel like we've had the wasting potatoes debate recently. You should never be wasting potatoes. They're very useful food to have around. So, you know, wasting them is just, it doesn't serve a purpose. You're just being mean.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who would like those potatoes to eat them because potatoes are delicious, delicious foods. So if you're wasting them, not only are you doing a disservice to the entire state of Idaho, you're doing a disservice to America.
I mean, you're doing a disservice to yourself. You just robbed yourself of a delicious meal. And now you have to go to jail for being a stupid person.
I mean, was it like something happened to him? He freaked out. His immediate reaction was to just throw potatoes into the toilet and flush.
Yeah, but like did – okay, here you go, Ben. I've got a possible scenario. Maybe as a kid – He saw his parents doing cocaine, and he was like, what are you doing? And they were like, these are potatoes. And then, like, the cops came, and he saw them dumping the, quote, potatoes down the drain. But then as a grown-up, he realized that potatoes were something else. And so maybe, like, he heard a knock on the door, and he was like, oh, crap, it's the cops. And so he tried to flush his potato down the toilet. That's all I've got, Ben. That's all I've got. I cannot think of a reason why anyone would do this other than what I just said, which is so stupid.
Well, Lou, I mean, it's hard to make any logic out of this entire story, but it is what it is.
Speaking of logic.
Good one.
Let's go to story number 3. The headline reads, "Atheist raking in six-figure salary for creating iPhone Bible app. A1 Trevor McKendrick is making a six-figure salary currently for creating a popular Spanish audio Bible application for the iPhone. He is quoted as saying, "I am selling this thing I truly believe is fiction, but other people are trying to use it and mold their lives to fix large and small problems. We don't believe in Christianity. We don't believe in the Bible. I would describe myself as an atheist." Now, what I love about this story, Ben, you may not have noticed this, is that he dropped that truth bomb on Fox and Friends, which is like, it's a show where three really, 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 really stupid redneck Republicans try to talk like normal people, and they just can't. But however, one of the guys on the panel, a guy named Brian Kilmeade, says that he has no problem with this. Because, you know, people are getting what they want. No one's getting hurt. Just because he's an atheist doesn't mean he can't run a decent business. Ben, your thoughts on all of this?
Yeah, I mean, in this world today, you have to make a profit somehow. And if it's through sheer irony, then hey, so be it.
Now, I'm going to say something that may make people angry, but I don't intend for it to. But most religion does fiscally gather rewards based off of the word of the Lord, right? I mean, we can all agree on that, right? Like, religions only exist technically because, you know, of money. Because if all of a sudden there was no more money coming into churches, they would cease to exist.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a fair point. And I feel like this Trevor McKendrick is doing a service to people. And, you know, he doesn't have to, certainly, but the man's trying to make a living in the world, trying to do something. And what's better than using, you know, what you have in front of you? And if that is technology that has to, you know, create a popular Spanish audio Bible application for the iPhone, then that's how life is going to be for you. And to say that, you know, it's hypocrisy. Well, no, it's not. It's just a man trying to find a way to, you know, make a living in this world. The man could be out murdering people, but, you know, instead he's a sane human being that's just trying to make a living, and he just happens to be an atheist. So what? You know, what if it was a Muslim person that made it, or a Buddhist person that made it? You know, why such the outrage, you know?
I don't think anyone should take issue with what this man is doing, because if a religious person wrote a book for atheists, nobody would be mad. So
in fact, they probably just laugh
right,
at it.
So we should just get over it. So people who are mad about this, just, you don't know what you're talking about. Just shut up. He's providing a service to people who want it, which is to have the Bible, the audio Bible in Spanish on their phone or device. Speaking of which, the news shoe will be available in Spanish. Probably never.
I don't speak the Espanol.
No, I do. I also do not habla. I mean, muy poquito, but not much.
Queso.
Good, Ben. That's a good one.
Huevos. Yep. Huevos.
Mantequilla. Do you know what mantequilla is?
No,
it's
I don't.
Butter. It's one of my favorite Spanish words is mantequilla.
See, that's the funny thing is, like, just off topic real quick. Like, my dad will do these impressions. He'll say that he's speaking Japanese.
Is that where you get your impressions from, Ben? From your dad?
Maybe.
Uh-oh.
He'll go, Honda, Mitsubishi, Toyota. I go, Dad, you're not speaking Japanese. You're just naming car companies.
Yeah, that's not really speaking another language. You're just, yeah.
And every time he tries to do German, it always sounds like an angry Japanese man. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, that's probably because your dad's getting the lines blurred a little bit because they were allies in World War II. So maybe your dad just assumes they're the same.
I don't know, maybe. But yeah, I guess you could say that's where I get some of the...
Some of your great impressions that have made you famous.
You know, like the Russian.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Actually, that's one of your better impressions. Your Russian is pretty good. But I'm...
Thank you.
God.
But yeah.
Not this guy again. But
yeah, Victor, I don't know what the hell happened to Victor.
He probably was executed for coming on the show, Ben. If we're being real, that poor bastard.
Yeah, Putin found out.
Come on the news, Chew. We promise you might not get shot. so I think it's awesome. First of all, I think it's awesome that by like next year, this guy will be a millionaire. All he did was take something that already existed, translate it in Spanish, make it an audio file and an app that was able to be downloaded, and that dude is making $1 million. So, Ben, my question to you is, how do we get in on that racket? What book do Spanish people need translated for them, like, immediately?
Translated for them? Well, shit, I thought the Bible would already be translated.
Well, but
Spanish.
I mean, like, I don't mean I mean, like, for audio purposes. So Spanish audiobook that maybe the Spanish community is clamoring for.
I don't know. What are the Spanish big into? Aren't they big into soccer? How about something with soccer? I don't know.
Pepe? Are there a lot of Pepe? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, Pepe was a big soccer star.
No, you're thinking
wasn't
of Pele. Pele was a big soccer. Pepe? Are you kidding me, Ben? I know that you did not just say Pepe instead of Pele. Oh my God!
Who's Pepe?
I don't know who Pepe is. Pepe is the male skunk on Looney Tunes. Pepe Le Pew is his name. Pepe is a like no, it's Pele. Pele was the greatest soccer player who ever lived.
Well, there's a Pepe who plays for Real Madrid, apparently.
No one knows Pepe.
That's just his name. He just goes by Pepe. It's Pele. Yes, I was thinking of Pele.
Yeah, that's what you were trying to think of, and you said Pepe. Nonsense, Ben. Unbelievable. I don't even know what we are talking about anymore. Gerbils? What is happening?
Who's president? What year is it? I don't know. Anyway, I mean, so if people are giving this guy crap about this, that's kind of ridiculous because he's, like I said, he's doing a service to people.
Yeah, I mean, people are giving him crap for it. And I think the only reason they're giving crap for it is because he is coming out and just being like, I am not a religious person. I did this for financial gain only. And people are shocked. And I'm like, do you not pay attention? Like, do people not pay attention to like just churches like in general? Look at something like Scientology that didn't exist 55 years ago, 60 years ago. Religions are this is what they're for. They're to make money. Like, I'm sorry if that hurts people, but I mean, seriously, that is what they are there for. Like,
you know, there's this what's this great line from this Bad Religion song? I don't know if you're familiar with Bad Religion.
Oh, I'm familiar.
It's from one of their earliest albums. Called How Could Help Me Any Worse. The song's called The Voice of God Is Government, and it talks about how, like, you know, give a 50 or $100 donate tax free donation to these churches. And like, yeah, it's exactly the point you're making is churches rack in so much money from donations and shit that they have no room to talk about hypocrisy from an atheist making money off of something that's religious because religious people are already making money as it is. So if you're saying, oh, well, he can't do that. Well, then why do you do it? Because essentially you're funding your religion on money. Not that that's what the sole chief principle and belief is, and I'm not trying to start a religious war with people.
No,
because I don't have a problem with
people.
And
I'm not either. I'm just saying, don't get mad about it, because every week when you go to church, you put money in the little basket. So, like, don't be mad that a guy who isn't religious is making money off religion, because that shit has been happening since the dawn of time.
And if we still are a society, which apparently we are, that can't get over the fact that people aren't religious, like Lou and myself, there's a problem here. There's a clear problem because, you know, it doesn't mean that we're bad people because we're not, you know. I never got why it's always, oh, well, he's an atheist or he's agnostic or he doesn't, you know, or whatever. So I just never got that. So are people who are, you know, of a different faith than you bad? No, I don't care if somebody's Christian or Buddhist or whatever. I don't care. As long as they don't, like, you know, try to murder me. Hey, man, it's all good. So I applaud this Trevor McKendrick for, you know, taking something and rolling with it.
I agree, man.
Becoming a millionaire. Becoming possibly a millionaire, so it's nice.
Homie's got to get paid.
Yeah, man.
Again, it's such – I feel like lately a lot of the best ideas had by people are just the simplest fucking things. Just the most basic shit. Like, this is so simple. I can't even believe it. I can't even believe it, Ben.
It almost sounds like I can't believe it's not butter, like kind of like that.
Almost.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool though that, you know, and it also says a lot about our society as a whole, like technology advanced. We've come this far that people are making so much money from things that didn't really exist 50 years ago. I mean, going back to, I mean, with Bill Gates, you know, creating, you know, Microsoft and things like that, you know, it shows how we've entered into such a fantastic age of technology that, you know, what people did for jobs back in the day, you know, when our parents were growing up, or even before then, these type of jobs didn't exist. And now they do, and people are making, you know, good money from them. I think that's kind of a testament to where we've come as a society and civilization, because he's going to make six figures from an app. An app! Hell, 15 years ago, people didn't know that what an app was. I don't think an app even existed 15 years ago.
No, it's absolutely
it's amazing that we've come this far. I mean, I don't know. That just kind of blows my mind a little bit, you know?
It's interesting to me that in this day and age, we're still so, like, we're just so angry about stuff all the time. Like, it's just so weird to me. Like, we're so angry as a country about stuff that's so simple. Like, this is not that big a deal. This is not that critical for Fox News to be blowing up about it and being like, can you believe this atheist? It's like, Jesus Christ, get over it, man. Just let it go.
Yeah, you know, in all forms of media like that, Fox News is terrible at what they do. CNN's terrible at what they do. MSNBC is terrible at what they do. You can't win.
Yeah, it's...
You can't. Because it's all sensationalism. Like, oh, let's blow this one thing out of proportion because obviously that's what we need to do. And it's just like, the fuck? Why? So good on you, Trevor McKendrick. Good on you. So I don't know if maybe he's thinking about other technology, but he could be thinking about a way to stop bullets as well.
Really? Whatever do you mean, Ben?
I don't know. Maybe like in story number four. Title reads, Bra Saved Her from Stray Bullet. A Brazilian news report says that an underwire bra saved a woman's life after she was struck near the heart by a stray bullet. Globo Television Network says Yvette Medeiros, a merchant in the Amazonian city of Belém, was hit after she heard a commotion and emerged from a market to investigate. A thief holding up a passerby on the other side of the street opened fire and a bullet struck her under her left breast. Her husband thought she had died, but the bullet was lodged in the underwire of her black bra. There were images that showed her dress with a small hole, the bra, and a squashed bullet. And she, quote-unquote, said it was a deliverance from God. So, wow, Brazilian bras, that's it's like army, you know, ready.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's weird. it's pretty, I mean, I don't know, you hear crazy stories about bullets being stopped by interesting things, but I've never heard a bra saving a woman's life.
Well, I mean, metaphorically, maybe.
Well, but yes. I mean, you know, it's, geez, Ben, come on. I feel like I've said this like eight times today. What are the odds that the bullet would hit right in the wire part of the bra?
They're tremendous, Lou.
They're tremendous odds? Good. Yes, just, good. Let's just, how many times can you say that the rest of this story? Go.
I don't know. But
it would be tremendous if you could tremendously make this tremendous story even more tremendous.
What are the odds of that?
Yeah, see? Exactly. Exactly. You know, obviously now we're gonna talk about religion again briefly. Obviously in a place like Brazil where religion is such an enormous part of what they do. I like that I made it like a job. It's a big part of what they do. It's amazing to me that, like, the first thing they jump to is like, oh, it's an act of God. Oh, it must have been Jesus. Whoa, hold on. How about it was just a weak-ass bullet that got stopped by the wire lining of a super bra?
Or having your bra be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, like, my bra was in the right place at the right time.
Maybe it was Pele, because he's from Brazil.
He is from Brazil. That Pele.
But, I mean, and I don't know if all bras are made this way, or if it's just the bras are made there, but damn. I mean, if they can resist bullets, I mean, what kind of other technology does Brazil have in their clothing that can they, resist, you know, bombs? I mean, this is a bit of a stretch, but I mean, unless, like, it got lodged in such a specific part of that bra, typically I don't think a bullet would be able to stop that or get stopped by that. It would just go through. So, I mean, that's kind of incredible that it just literally stopped, because bullets just do not stop unless they hit a destination, a target. Usually, you know, something solid, like a human body or a piece of wood. So, yeah, that little space that bullet got lodged in, man, that really is what saved her life.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I almost can't believe this story. Like, it almost seems like it's too incredible to be true. I mean, I'm glad that this woman didn't die.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because...
Well, but then in the background, you saw an explosion because it was directed by Michael Bay.
Yeah, obviously. Well, close up of the boob, close up of the boob, close up of the boob, explosion. In that order. It's an amazing story. I mean, it's one that I read this week and just immediately went, wow, like that's pretty fucking incredible. You know, now here's the next question. Are we sure it was the bra, and are we sure that she's not Wonder Woman?
I don't know. This wasn't confirmed or denied. I mean, so it's hard to say.
And since I've never seen her and Wonder Woman in the same room together before, I have to assume that this is obvious. This was obviously Wonder Woman.
Or she could be Carmen Sandiego.
Dude, but then we would know where in the world was Carmen Sandiego.
But we don't know now.
You know what? When I used to play that game, I feel like Carmen Sandiego was always in Rio de Janeiro. Actually, now that you say that, I feel like that bitch was always playing up Rio.
Hey, I'm making links here.
Boom.
What if her husband's Waldo?
Is who?
Waldo.
Who's Warbo?
Waldo.
Waldo? You think that Carmen Sandiego and Waldo are getting it on?
Why not? We never know where they are.
Good for Waldo. That plain-looking motherfucker, he scored, because as far as I can tell, Carmen Sandiego is fine.
I mean, you can never tell where they are, and you never know, so maybe.
I mean, you can find Waldo. I mean, unless you're not really looking for him.
I mean, God forbid they have a child. I mean, they'll never find
I mean,
that
look,
kid.
You're looking for a 6'6", 130-pound white guy with black hair wearing a red and white striped shirt and a blue dingley ball hat at the beach. You're going to find him. You just have to look.
Oh, he's hidden in the wall. I didn't see that.
Yeah, like, where, again, like, what you should do is be like, where's Waldo the tiny person edition? Where, like, he's hiding behind a stump. Or now that would be a challenge, but again, you got a 6'6" pencil dressed like an escaped convict from the 1910s. I don't know. See, it doesn't seem like it'd be that hard to find.
Where's Waldo in camouflage?
Where's Waldo in camouflage? Now we've got something, Ben. Now we're
like completely off topic from what original story.
Oh yeah, right. Wonder Woman's booby. Okay, so now here's my next question, Ben. Because whenever people deem something as a miracle, they like try to recreate it. How many women are going to die trying to be saved by their own boob?
I don't know if that's going to be the case, or if that these bra manufacturers are going to start making like industrial strength things, and like women are going to be wearing like three bras at one time.
Let me rephrase that. If this story was from Florida, how many copycats would we have?
About 27.
That's I was thinking like a good solid 25. So you know, the odds of this happening again are so slim. Like. The odds are better at Kim Kardashian not posing naked again.
I feel like that's a bit high.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, the odds are better than her not doing that.
Oh. I must have missed.
I may have said it really poorly. In fact, even when I said it a second time, I said it very poorly. But that's what I'm trying to say. Like, she is absolutely going to pose naked again, regardless of what she tells you. And I feel like the odds of that are 100%. So, you know, I was saying the opposite here. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, being saved. Like, the bullet had to be traveling at just the right speed. It had to be just the right size to not just shatter that little piece of metal. Although, all right, hold on. Let me go back for a second. thinking about some of my wife's bras, some of those fucking wires are like steel. Like some of those things are fucking sturdy.
Maybe the bullet was traveling so fast it was at 88 miles per hour, and before it hit her, it went Back to the Future.
Is today Back to the Future Day?
Maybe it is.
All right, we can only make Back to the Future references the rest of the day.
But you know who went back to the past?
Who's that, Ben?
Our final story.
Oh yeah.
So final story reads: German neo-Nazis cancel rally after boarding wrong train. So yeah, this is a thing that happened.
Ain't that some shit?
So in Germany a few days ago, it says that some far rightists have canceled a demonstration in the province of Freiburg after boarding the wrong train and going 200 kilometers, which I'm not sure if that is, to miles.
It's a lot.
Away from their intended destination. Members of the German National Democratic Party, which is known for its neo-Nazi discourse, departed from Karlsruhe on February 1st to attend a rally to protest occupational bans, as one of their members was recently refused to work in a public office. So the mayor of Freiburg, where these people were supposed to go, Mayor Otto Neideck, said, quote-unquote, "We don't feel their absence here."
Here's what's crazy to me. 250 kilometers is an awful lot. Like, that is an incredible distance. And what I'm curious is, at no point did any of them turn and look at one another and go, I das think wir going the wrong way. No, at no point, nobody at any point thought that was, no, all right, well, that's your fault.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, gee, I don't think we're going to the Freiburg. I think we're going to the Karlsruhe.
200 kilometers is about 125 miles-ish.
Yeah, you would notice after a while that, like, if I was going to, I don't know, Cincinnati, which I know it's more than 125, that's not the point. If I was going to Cincinnati, but I started seeing signs for Pittsburgh, I would get a little concerned. I'm thinking, well, I'm probably not going the right way. And I feel like if they're German, they know Germany. They know I'm assuming they would know the geography of their own country. Maybe that's a little too bold because they are neo-Nazis. I don't know.
There you go.
But I feel like they would know that. And if you see signs for, like, cities that are not near Freiburg, but they're all near the city that's not near Freiburg, that's in the complete opposite direction, I feel like you would notice that after a while. Like, shit, we're going the wrong way, aren't we? Yeah.
It just would have been fun to be on the train with a bunch of little douchebags who look like Adolf Hitler just go, "Das Poop!" when they realize that they've gone fucking 125 miles in the wrong direction.
Actually, it's Scheiße.
Oh, Jesus, Ben. The joke was that it was poop, not Scheiße. I know Scheiße.
Well, that's one of the only things I learned from my high school German class. He literally taught us what shit was in German.
You don't know how to say your name? Or how to, like, introduce yourself?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, come on, man. Guten Tag, mein Name ist Ludwig. Come on, man. I never even took German, and I got that on lockdown.
But I don't remember much from German except how to say Scheiße.
That's not good for you, Ben.
Mm-mm.
Never
said it was.
And for the record, Ben, remind me that when I do go to Germany that I do not want to ever go to Karlsruhe because they hold neo-Nazi rallies. So just remind me of that the next time when I'm planning my trips to Germany, which is, again, one of those countries that I just have no interest in. Even though my wife, a large chunk of her family is extremely German, like fresh off the boat German, and still speak German fluently.
I don't know. I think going to Germany would be cool.
It might be cool, but, you know, there'd also be little Hitler wannabes. Like the picture that is on at least the article that I'm looking at, like – it looks like he has, like, a wet turd or, like, a salamander on his head. It doesn't even look like hair. And then he's got a Hitler mustache. And I'm like, really?
No, he actually doesn't. He has the Hitler hair, but he doesn't have the mustache. It's like Hitler has gained 50 pounds and didn't...
Oh, it looks like he has the mustache. Is that just the shadow from the picture?
Yeah, that's just the shadow.
Oh, no shit. I thought that he had... Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. He doesn't have it. But I had to zoom in to notice that because when I just look at it normally, it looks like he has a Hitler mustache. Well, now he just looks like a fat Nazi Charlie Brown.
He looks like a fat Nazi Charlie Brown with anti-Waldo colors.
Yeah, like he looks like the alternate universe Charlie Brown. He does, man. He's even wearing his shirt. I mean, this is so funny to me. Like,
yeah, and behind him, the dude with the flag, that's Linus with the flag instead of the blanket.
This is just too funny. Like, first of all, fuck you and your cause. I don't care if I offend the neo-Nazis. Fuck you guys. You guys are dicks. So it's funny to me that, like, you guys prepare for this fucking rally so you can spread your bullshit hate of everyone who isn't a fucking fat Charlie Brown lookalike. And you get on the train and you're all hooping and hollering. And you're probably drinking boots of beer. And 125 miles later, you guys are like, oh shit. And then the whole thing got canceled because luckily, Ben, I imagine that every person who went the wrong way was supposed to be at the rally. Like, that was everybody. I don't know if it says specifically. It doesn't really. It just says a lot of people. So, I mean, I imagine hopefully these were the only assholes going.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that the neo-Nazis have died out since the 1940s.
Especially in Germany. I would think that people in Germany would see this and be like, what are you fucking doing? You're going to blow our cover. I imagine that conversation is had all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of Germany isn't really – they don't really tolerate that kind of stuff because, you know, obviously that should happen in their country. But you do have these few stragglers like anti-Charlie Brown. But what would be his German name?
To be honest, they're probably – I don't know. I don't know what Charles would be in German, but there are probably more neo-Nazis in America than there are in Germany. And I'm being 100% serious. I'm almost sure of it.
Yeah, watch American History X.
Well, I mean, that's just one example. But I mean, like, you know, both my wife and I have spent chunks of time in Idaho, and I can tell you that the neo-Nazi movement in the state of Idaho is alive and well. It's very disturbing. It's troublesome at times. But, like, there are probably more neo-Nazis in America than there are in Germany. I feel confident saying that.
You know, at first, Idaho didn't really, like, register on my radar as a neo-Nazi state. But then it's one of those states you never hear about besides their potatoes. And you're like, oh, shit, maybe. Maybe that's all the neo-Nazis.
Yeah, like, the northern panhandle of Idaho is, like, the neo-Nazi, like, headquarters or something is somewhere up in the panhandle, up by the Canadian border, is like Ku Klux Klan Central. So yeah, it's very sad. Very sad times. But fuck you guys. Fuck your rally. I hope you all fucking have fucking fat Charlie Brown children.
Oh no, I hope they don't have children.
No, they can have children, but then when their children are fat and look like Charlie Brown, nobody will pay much attention to them.
Yeah, and they'll board trains.
And with all the technology we have today, they won't know how to get on a train going in the right fucking direction, nerds.
Because they're neo-Nazis. They're stupid.
Oh, come on. They're not all stupid. I mean, they're not all neo-Nazis. Yeah, I got nothing.
My point exactly.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
You know what's a lot better than neo-Nazis, Lou?
Everything?
Well, yes, but one thing in particular.
Everything that's not Nazis.
Yes, and porcupine cookies.
Well, obviously, Ben, porcupine cookies are shouldn't we shouldn't even use that. It's a terrible segue, Ben. Porcupine cookies are the anti. They are the lovers of life, the keepers of peace. Go online, order yourself some porcupine cookies. They are now on Twitter. You know where else you can find them, Ben? Don't say it. Everyone knows where they are.
I was going to say probably through Google.
Oh, all right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Good work. But they're also on Twitter now. If you live in the greater Seattle area, the greater Seattle order area, that works. Yes. They will deliver to you. They also have been so kind to bestow the winner of next week's Oscars podcast special, specifically the tagline game, will be receiving some free porcupine cookies from our sponsor. So we'd like to thank them in advance for that. And thank everybody for listening. Ben, why don't you tell everybody where they can find us?
All right. Well, you can find us on Twitter at The News Chute. You can find us on Facebook, The News Chute, Ben and Lou. We've also started up The Chewing Dead for you Walking Dead fans out there. So be sure to check that out. We do have a preview up of the second half of season 5 today, so it won't make much sense for tomorrow, but later this week we'll have episode 9, I think? Yes, episode 9. So we'll be continuing that for the rest of the season, so we'll be looking forward to that if you're into that. And as always, if you have story ideas, If you find something that you think will make us laugh, I mean, send it to us. We'll more chances are if it's another woman with kangaroos in Wisconsin, it'll probably be on the show. So, Lou, any parting words for this week?
Don't forget to flush those potatoes.